This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome to the Cassie Sobelton Show. This is a podcast focused on mind, body, and spirit wellness. I'm your host, Cassie Sobelton, a best-selling author, speaker, and wellness expert. You can find me online at CassieSobelton.com. Each week, we'll dive into a different wellness topic with a focus on teaching you how to achieve wellness realistically. No lofty goals, no over-the-top crazy diets. This is wellness for the real world. Just practical, easy suggestions and ways to improve your life. Thank you for listening. Now onto the show.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beauty focus, EOU. Ooh, you, ooh, I leave it all.
On this week's edition, I'm talking to Priya Shaw. Priya is a cranial sacral therapist as well as a physical therapist. She's working on her first book right now. I'll let you tell them all about that, Priya, in a second. Priya, as well, is a brand new mommy. Super excited to talk about that. But before we get started on any of that, why don't you just give a quick bio, Priya?
Okay, thank you so much, Cassie. I'm so excited to be here. Cassie's also an inspirational in my life transformation to getting healthy and understanding wellness as well.
Yay, I'm doing my job.
Yeah, thank you. A great
as
job.
As a friend.
Yeah. So my transformation to wellness has been one of a personal journey. You know, it usually starts with some trigger. So for me, it was kind of my own health crisis and being trained through the University of Michigan with my physical therapy degree. I understood traditional ways of approaching not feeling well, and I wanted to start looking
traditional
for...
Traditional meaning Western medicine.
Okay. Right, yeah, exactly. Okay. The word traditional has changed so much, right? It used to be traditional was all the stuff that's considered kind of out there and
woo-woo,
hokey now. Yeah,
right.
Woo-woo. But
so that was the stuff that's been around for thousands of years.
Right, right. Yeah. And so I started exploring more holistic ways to heal my body.
Or traditional.
Or actually traditional, right. Why do we have to change that? Just like
we're going to screw these listeners up
right,
so bad.
I know. So I knew the Western medicine definition of how to get better, which is cutting something out or taking medication. And I wanted to look for other ways to heal. So I went on a big journey to heal myself. And I had many teachers along the way, and through that process, I became a yoga teacher, I became a theta healing instructor, I really started studying supplementation and nutraceuticals, and I just explored everything that I thought I could use to heal my body in a more holistic way, along with yoga and meditation, and really it was a life's journey.
Wow.
Yeah,
so
amazing.
I've heard this a million times, I know you have as well, people get sick. And then they look for these other ways to heal themselves. And those are the people that I know we all see as they're the long-term survivors. They're the ones that really change their life, change their body. I know you've done it. I've done it. So many of our friends have done it. That's why we all have this really great bond together, of course. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about where it started for you?
So I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, which is an epidemic these days. And
right.
The numbers of thyroid cancer are just growing exponentially.
How long ago was that, Priya?
Now it's been 10 years.
Okay.
And so I kind of was living a traditional lifestyle, you know, a single
traditional?
Woman. Yeah, like it, how most single
standard
women.
Standard American lifestyle.
Yeah, how most American women in their 20s when they're single live. I was going out and drinking a few nights a week.
No.
I was, you know, in a slew of unhealthy relationships.
No.
Yeah. And I was, you know, eating Taco Bell at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, all the things that I think a lot of people do when they're kind of caught in this fast-paced life
right.
of trying to get ahead and kind of still trying to find love and romance and, you know, be in a corporate environment. and they're all just unhealthy ways of coping,
right.
you know, and so I had to re-educate myself about what wholeness meant, how to cope with the stress of life, and instead of going out and drinking, learning how to meditate, and instead of surrounding myself by unhealthy people that
That's
I needed
one.
To detoxify from,
yep.
to surround myself by people that actually brought out the best in me and made me feel loved and supported, that I didn't need to kind of chemically try to love and support myself.
That's big.
So coming out of thyroid cancer, the reason I consider myself a total survivor is because I have done the necessary changes. I think the main reason people come out of cancer and survive it are because they become a new person.
Right.
And so the person I am right now is a shadow of the person I was when I was sick. And so with that, I have a clear path and understanding that it will never be part of my life again, the cancer.
So do you think the cancer was trying to teach you something?
Yeah. I mean, I think every obstacle in life is a teacher. Mm-hmm. And I feel like every failed relationship, either male or female, is a teacher.
Oh, then I'm really smart.
Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, all of these obstacles, you know, the famous Buddhist quote that I love is the lotus flower grows out of the mud.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, the more mud you're in your life, that's where actually the most beautiful flower in the Buddhist teaching comes from.
Right.
And so not to say that you can't, you have to go through the mud, but, and part of my passion now is to teach people, you don't have to be where I was. You don't have to be broken. You can start working on yourself that you don't have to reach the depths of the mud that I had to.
Right.
I mean, when you're 30 years old and hearing a diagnosis like that, it is, I mean, it is so devastating,
right.
Really. You
mm-hmm.
have, I still had so many things I wanted to do in my life. And it was a blessing in the sense that I was able to look at my mortality at an early age. And I always say cancer has been my biggest teacher.
Right. Well, it's definitely a motivator to make the change.
Yep.
So many people that I know who have actually healed themselves, that's exactly what happened, and including myself. It was a very horrible diagnosis. You come out of it and realize there's just no other way to live. If you want to live, you're going to have to make some major changes.
Yeah.
And like you, when it happened to me, it was the biggest blessing that's ever happened to me. It completely changed my career. It's completely changed my life. You mentioned something earlier about, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people, and that's something I even focused on in my book. The idea that the five people you surround yourself most with are who are going to influence your life. You become just like them.
Yeah.
And if the listeners can take a second to stop and think about the five people that you spend the most time with, are they the type of people that you want to become? Are they the type of people that lift you up, that make you feel good every time you're around them, that are creating a better world for you, for them, for society? Or are they the kind of people that kind of drag you down? You know, do you look forward to seeing them? How does that make you feel? And, you know, if you reevaluate and just start spending time more with the people who lift you up and less time with the people who pull you down, that in and of itself can change your life completely.
Yeah. My friend circle has changed dramatically.
Yeah.
Since those years. And, you know, also because my interests have changed, you know.
Right.
So when your interests change. And I hang out most right now with a two-month-old baby. So hopefully.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so hopefully I'm going to not start crawling around the room crying because I'm hungry.
Well, I saw Gaia, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
And my goodness, yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's not into me, but I picked her up and she immediately started crying. She wanted her mommy. And Priya says, well, it makes sense. You know, I'm her. What did you say? I'm her
lifeline, her milk truck.
Her milk truck. Yes, her milk truck. I said, yeah, that's true. Anyways, you know, so Priya had her first baby at 40 years old. What,
yeah.
Your first month of being 40, right?
Yeah, I'm okay. Proud of that. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, as you should be. So Priya is
totally,
you know,
naturally.
Totally naturally.
Yeah, I didn't need any. I mean, I had it in a hospital.
Right.
And but I didn't need any sort of hormonal support, or, you know, we have this idea that if you're having your baby later, that you're going to have to be on a lot of different progesterone, and that could be the case. But I also think taking super good care of
myself. It's
a
reflection of how you live.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you can talk for a minute about Hippocrates.
Yeah. So I spent a month at the oldest holistic healing center in the world. It's 60 years old, and it's based on the raw vegan lifestyle. And they're kind of, if anyone's heard of wheatgrass juice, which most people have at this point, mm-hmm. at least that are listening to this podcast,
right? Yeah.
It's kind of who brought wheatgrass juice into the mainstream. So it's a beautiful healing center in West Palm Beach, Florida. It's open to anyone. It's a 3-week life transformation program, and you're doing infrared saunas twice a day. You're doing colonics, you're doing, you know, mineral pools and a lot of emotional work because there's a huge emotional
component.
There's
the big key.
Yeah. And even Brian Clements, who is one of the owners, Dr. Brian Clements, he says you can have the best diet in the world mm-hmm. and you can take, you know, do all the right things, But if you don't do the underlying emotional work, then none of it is going to really be able to stick, because the body, I believe, will remanifest diseases unless you do the emotional work that's at the core of them.
Yep.
And that's
what's a big theme in the book.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a big theme in my life, you know. I mean, we've both seen people that have, they have amazing diets, but they're emotionally not.
They're nuts.
Yeah, they're crazy. Some vegans get a little over the top crazy. And I have a little sometimes. You know, we all have our crazy side. But
right, right.
It can't be.
But the
you know.
Ones that are just off the charts nuts, and I mean, that's a big part of, I think, what we do so well, and so many of our friends, is we take this very realistic approach to wellness and, mm-hmm. you know, how do you incorporate it? But I do see people all the time at yoga studios, and, you know, they go to yoga twice a day, once a day, whatever. They're eating perfectly, but then, you know, they're on a lot of different antidepressants and they're dealing with a lot of anxiety or fear mm-hmm. or whatever it is. And until you fix that, like if you look at the mind, body, and the spirit as a tripod, until you fix all three legs, you will never stand up straight.
Yep.
That's all there is to it. Well, so you went down to Hippocrates before conceiving Gaia.
Right.
And that, what, you were pregnant within weeks of coming home,
yeah.
weren't you?
Yeah, like a week after.
A week.
Yeah. So I do think once my body had that just total cleanse, I mean – they say at that 3 weeks you detoxify like 70% of your toxins in your body.
Unbelievable.
And I was doing it. You know, you can kind of slack when you're there, but I was not there to slack. I mean, I was really purifying, doing everything I could to
hold on. No, don't tell anyone you can slack. You cannot slack at Hippocrates Institute.
Yeah, you wouldn't. I mean, what's
why
the
would
point?
You pay that money?
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Because it's not cheap.
It's not cheap.
Can you remember how much it was?
My bill there was for 3 weeks, $7,000.
Wow, that's a lot cheaper than some of the hormone therapies that
right.
other people
yeah,
go about.
Yeah, or in vitro fertilization or anything. And then once you're down there, of course, there's a lot of cool holistic things
add-ons.
You can keep buying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, all your food's included and it includes some of your treatments. So if you look at 3 weeks of anywhere, you
right.
know, you're going to spend around
except
that.
Except the ashram.
Except the ashram.
Very cheap place to go
yeah.
and have really nice rebalancing. This is a place that I went recently. Priya took me a year and a half ago. As a best friend, pick me up by my bootstraps and kick me somewhere to get into a retreat because I was going through some sad times. And Priya came over and said, "We're going on a retreat." I said, "Priya, I can't afford a retreat. I'm paying it for you." What a best friend I have in you.
Yeah. Well, I used to, during life travesties, run to the bar or run
right.
to an unhealthy relationship. And now I run to the ashram.
Me too.
So I remember one of the teachers in my path said, "You're going to have addictions in your life. Just turn them into healthy addictions."
That's right. And, you know, I'm a very addictive person. You know this about me. And you might even consider yourself the same.
Right.
And I think both of us have gotten very good at channeling our addictions into working out or meditation or clean eating or whatever it might be. Whereas in the past, they weren't so healthy and they were quite devastating on the body.
Right.
So I think we're both paying for that in such ashrams and Hippocrates and those types of things just keep cleaning us up and cleaning us up. And, you know, that work is never done.
It's never done.
Never.
And I think some of the thing is when you've had this kind of revelation where all of a sudden your health has had a total regeneration and your life has had this, it's hard to not like stand on the rooftops and like tell everyone, this is what you should do. You know, I'm celebrating my 10th year as a vegetarian. I'm, you know, 10 years doing yoga. This is all since, you know, my cancer diagnosis. And so one of the things also is you have a way of telling people and teaching them in a non-threatening way.
Oh, good. Thank you.
And that's something I'm learning from you. Because I'm like, you have to do this, you know, to get clean. And no one has to do anything, you know.
Right.
They have to just be where they're at. But when I've improved my health, then of course I have this desire to, you know.
And you want to share it with the world.
That's part of what our, you know, your book's about and my book's about.
So tell us about your book.
My book. So it's been a labor of love. As I said, I went on this journey to holistic healing. And I think everyone's journey is part of their life, you know, challenge. And it doesn't have to be.
I think everyone's journey is their life challenge.
Right. And it doesn't have to be that you actually even leave, you know, your city that you live in. But for me, I went to Asia because I am Indian. And so it felt.
You are?
Mm-hmm. And I feel like starting to learn about that culture, it was also part of my healing. Because I had some deeper identity conflict between, you know, being from different cultures. And so I went to Japan. My first year of traveling, I ended up spending 3 years, mostly of 3 years in Asia. Mm-hmm. So my book's about my first year in Japan, in India, and then it ends on Mount Everest in Nepal.
Wow.
And it goes through all the processes of growing and developing that I was able to, I think, do quickly because I was away from my day-to-day normal. And I don't think you have to do that, but for me, because maybe I have some of that addictive personality, I had to just leave everything and go on this journey. So my book is titled The Evolution of a Party Girl.
I love that title.
Uh-huh.
I give you a little hat tip to it in my book, remember?
Oh, yeah. I know. Thank you. That was unexpected. And so I am really looking forward to it coming out soon, next few months. And
hold on. Wait. So when would that be? Maybe like summer 2016?
Summer 2016. It's in its final edit right now.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah. It's on the books. It's in the recording.
Okay. I love it. It's awesome. Well, you know, there's a lot of things we could talk about here with Priya because she's very well-versed in a lot of holistic modalities. Why don't we touch a little bit upon cranial sacral? Because I don't know if everyone's going to know what that is. Priya is are you a master cranial sacral?
Just a certified cranial sacral.
Okay, master physical therapist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, either way. Cranial sacral is something that you have brought into my life, and you've given me quite a few treatments through the years, and it really helped me. And I just want you to give maybe a high-level overview of what it is and energy healing in and of itself. We only have about 5 minutes left, so, you know, just something kind of quick and how they can incorporate it.
Yeah, so they always say there's the cocktail definition of cranial sacral therapy. So here it is, over spring water.
And coffee. Mushroom coffee.
So anyway, basically your body has many different rhythms in it. Your heartbeat is a rhythm we all know about. Your respiratory rate is another rhythm we know about. But we also have a cranial sacral rhythm in our body, and it's a slow, gentle, underlying rhythm in your body, and it has to do with the flow of your cerebral spinal fluid, which sounds like a big word, but basically it's the juice that supports your nervous system. So as you go through your day-to-day, you start getting restrictions in your body. And those restrictions in your craniosacral system can be emotional, they can be physical, and they lead to disease in your body. So unless you get your craniosacral rhythm with balanced in your body, you're open to having disease and pathology develop in certain areas of your body. So I work with clients, and I usually start with their pelvis, their sacrum, and start aligning their craniosacral rhythm all the way up to their skull. And then I spend the most of the time working on their skull bones and getting the flow of your fluid symmetric through your whole body, because it creates a ripple throughout your whole body, your craniosacral rhythm. So it really changed my practice as a physical therapist, and it really opened me up to holistic healing as I realized I didn't have to be so heavy-handed with my patients. I spent a long time in the physical therapy world, you know, working people to the bone, which I think there is a place for that. You know, we have a lot of people that need to exercise more.
Right.
But I also learned to trust everyone's inner physician, like everyone inside their body has an intuition and knows how to heal itself. And so with my hands connecting with their body in a more gentle, subtle way, we're able to create healing as their craniosacral system gets back into alignment.
You know what I found interesting is when you do cranial on me, you talk about a release. So you know when someone's moved through a blockage.
Right,
And so for me, that release always manifests in a real loud stomach gurgle.
Uh-huh.
And as a matter of fact, my dog Daisy, her stomach gurgles too when it happens. It is the weirdest thing ever.
I know. I do cranial on animals too.
Yeah. You've helped Daisy a lot. But it's really interesting to me. I remember you telling me there's people who might cry. There's people who laugh. There's people that jerk, you know, those other things. What's going on when that happens?
So when you're in the craniosacral, when I'm working with someone, I'm working with their autonomic nervous system. So it's not something that you have voluntary control over, like if you lift your arm or you do anything like that. It's kind of what I call the sacred space of healing. So whether you're meditating to get into that sacred space of healing or, you know, I do theta healing, but craniosacral also gets you into that sacred space of healing, which is when your body is working on autopilot, your autonomic nervous system. So then you're looking for autonomic responses, which means it could be like the rapid eye movement. It could be stomach gurgling. Some people sigh. And if it's an emotional blockage, I mean, some people cry, some people laugh, because tissue holds not just physical pain, but it also holds emotional pain.
It's interesting. And that's so obvious when we look at yoga. And I know I've had it happen in the yoga room where tears have come up. I've seen other people have it happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think a lot of people get embarrassed about that. But the one thing I like to say, like, I celebrate it. I'm like, I cried. I got rid of a blockage today. It just, I know something shifted.
Totally.
And I think if we all looked at it like that, we shouldn't be embarrassed of the things, you know, that are happening. We're moving. We're moving stuff. We're growing. We're healing.
Totally.
And it's a wonderful thing.
One of my teachers on the path, I asked one of my teachers, what's the key to happiness? You know, your big question of life. I travel the world and ask all these masters, what's the answer to happiness? And I think so far the best answer I've gotten is happiness takes an incredible amount of courage. Mm. And it's the courage to go through all the difficult emotional blockages and celebrate them.
Right.
Instead of like hiding the fact being that you have emotional blockages, because we all have them.
We all have them. And it just never stops. If we were to stop, we'd transcend, right? I mean, we wouldn't be here.
Right.
If we're here learning a lesson, we have to get through those lessons and another one shows up. But it's when we see the same lesson show up again and again and again and again that we know we're not learning the lesson. Mm-hmm. So I always take note when I see the exact same thing happening over and over, when I see the exact same type of relationship problems manifest in my life, or when I see myself move past something. I know that I've actually done the work, moved on, and now I get to go on and learn a new lesson and then a new lesson and then a new lesson.
Yeah, you've done a lot. We both have done a lot
of
work.
We've done a lot of darn work.
It's so beautiful to see, like, people and clients and friends, because now I surround myself by healthier people grow and develop, you know? I can look at where they were before and see where they are now. And, it's...
I'd be quite proud of them.
Yeah, I know that word proud, but it's really, it's beautiful, because I know it takes an incredible amount of courage.
It does.
Yeah.
Well... speaking of courage, took a lot of courage for you to come on this show today. God only knows where I'm going to take things. So I certainly appreciate you being here. I'd love to have you on again.
I would love
to. Of course, I'm sure I'll see you soon before that happens. But thank you. A million thanks.
Thank you, Cassie, for all the people you're helping on your journey as well. Part of the journey is you're helping everyone and they're helping you.
You
and
too,
so
Priya.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Cassie Sobelton Show. I hope you heard at least one easy health upgrade on today's show that you can immediately implement into your life. Remember, over time, implementing small health upgrades will make a big difference in your health. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Cassie Sobelton. For more information or to hire me as a speaker or wellness consultant, please visit CassieSobelton.com. See you next week.
This is a previously recorded episode.